if you would, go over to Mark 11. But listen, what you're wanting to happen, what you're looking for, right now we're in the classroom of the Holy Spirit and have been. This church is the classroom of the Holy Spirit. There'll be a few things he'll let release, but he was more interested in teaching and training us than what we're all looking for, the demonstration. He's going to bring us the demonstration, but he's interested in teaching us how the kingdom works. Amen. And so we stick very close to him. Amen. Glory to God. Mark 11, verse 22, and Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I actually moved mountains with this particular verse, two big mountains, before I actually entered into the ministry. But there's a lot more about speaking to the mountain now that the Holy Spirit has brought us into this journey. So I'm going to review a little bit. I'm going to summarize a little bit. Then I'm going to bring you in to the components that move mountains with your words. Amen. Hallelujah. To move mountains, you'll have to have two levels of faith. You have to have a lot of things, but faith especially, you're going to have faith to receive and faith to release, to loose, to speak. Listen, you must, and we must understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. You can't have a preconceived notion how the kingdom works and expect it to fully work. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to teach the fullness of this mystery to us, to understand how the kingdom is brought forth into the earth. And he said in verse 13, he says, you know not this parable, how then will you know all parables? If you don't understand how this operates, he's taking me back in there today, and there's a whole lot more in there. When you meditate Mark 4, Matthew 13, Luke 8 together, it's a full-blown image, and it's full of keys and mysteries that open the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Now go to Matthew 13. He wants us to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he doesn't want us to be half-cocked. He wants us to fully understand it. Amen? Because that's where we're going to be productive. That's where faith is going to work. That's where mountains are going to move. That's where the manifestation of his kingdom, you won't have to just tell people about Jesus. You're going to be able to show them Jesus. You're going to show the power of God, demonstrating the kingdom of God, and make it a lot easier to win a city under the power of demonstration than the power of words. Paul knew, he goes, I don't come to you with words only. I come to you with demonstration and power. That kind of power will unlock cities. Jesus himself did not preach without power. There's no way he would have introduced this level of revelation. His own disciples didn't know what he was talking about half the time. How could he have expected the multitudes to follow him if he didn't come with great power and great authority? They were there because of the demonstration. Amen? But that was the open door to train them for the kingdom of God. That's the way the gospel's supposed to work. So Matthew 13:13, he said, when any man heareth, look at it, heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one to snatch away what's in their heart. See, if you don't understand the kingdom, if you don't take time to acclimate to its culture, its language, the spiritual laws that govern it, the operations that govern it, like faith, if you don't take time to understand the enemies, he's not going to snatch your salvation away from you. He's going to snatch the operation of the kingdom from you. And you'll end up a powerless person, serving a very powerful God. Mostly will end up in a church that bypasses power and glory and demonstration, but it looks real good. It sounds real good. Most of that is because we have not fully pressed into the full understanding of how it works. And if we don't understand, he's going to snatch the word. He's not just snatched the word. He's after the word of the kingdom. He's not going to snatch your knowledge away from you. Because knowledge is not what he's after. Unless it's the knowledge of the kingdom. He's after the word that's sown in the heart. That's what he's after, the word of the kingdom. And the understanding of how the kingdom works. Because he can take that, he'll take your operation from you. And you'll be powerless. Church will be powerless. He's a little bit good at what he does. I mean, if you look at the entire church, where is a full-blown operation? Anywhere in America. I'm not faulting them. We're not there yet. But most of that is not because God is not ready to move. Because what we do is when we say, well, God will work on his timetable. When he gets ready to do it, he'll do it. But the problem with that particular thing is that you're saying that God wants people to go to hell today. Because he's not ready to do that. Now, God does have a specific time for these things. Appointed times. Joy and I was talking about that a lot this week. He has an appointed time, and he prepares you in that appointed time. But most of the reason why God is not moving is because the church doesn't understand how this kingdom operates. Because he gave you a kingdom. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but he's just not ready for it to manifest right now. The works that I do, you shall do also and greater than these, but he's just not ready for you to do that right now. So he gives it all to you and then says, oh, I'm not ready for all that to happen, but it's all yours. Does any of that make sense? The reason is because we lack the understanding, and because it's we understand not, the enemy will snatch the word of the kingdom out of whole movements. Out of whole life, he'll snatch the word of the kingdom out, leave knowledge. They'll even have a flow of the Spirit, but he's snatching that word of the kingdom out because they understood it not. Amen? Because they understood it not. He said, look at verse 23, he that receives seed in the good ground and hear the word and understood it brought forth fruit. You cannot bring forth fruit if you do not understand how the word of the kingdom works. Not this kind of fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. Stuff that man can't do. The stuff that everyone's looking for. Amen? The key thing is we must be willing. I say this all the time. People will press in for 2-3 weeks and then they back up. Not you, because you all are hungry. But they'll go to college for 4 years. They've already got a preset mindset. Of course, when you go to college, you don't have a devil on your back all the time either. Think about acclimating this kingdom. The devil's going to constantly challenge you to get away from it, to push you away from it or snatch it from you. He's not snatching your salvation. He's just moving you off course. He don't want you down this course. This is the one he has no defense for. He has to keep you away from it. Got to keep it out of your heart. Keep you from fully understanding. The prerequisite for the operation of the kingdom of God is to fully understand it and stay with it. So you understand. Because it is a kingdom that's not like ours. And we must readapt. We must be teachable as a little child to understand and commit to that understanding. And we're not willing to commit to the understanding. He'll snatch that operation from you. And you'll go back to live life. Knowing God, loving God, being a wonderful person that everyone is. But you'll lack the operation and the fullness of the kingdom of God. Because that operation has been snatched. Happens all the time. Faith. True faith must understand the kingdom of God. Amen? Next. True faith must receive the three measures of the kingdom of God. We've been on this a lot, so I'll move through this pretty good. Matthew 13, you're there. Look at verse 31. And he put forth a parable. Now he's going to give you everything in this chapter you need. It's all there. Other teachings will support it, but he embeds it into Luke 8, Matthew 13, and Mark 4. He embeds the mystery of God in there. It's awesome. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Say, his field. Verse 19 says that that was sown in the heart. Very clear that that word was sown in the heart. So he is a grain of mustard seed. He sowed in his field. In other words, he had to receive the kingdom as that seed, the operations of the kingdom. How to receive it? Faith before faith conquers, faith receives. Before faith moves mountains, faith must receive, and you must know what you're receiving. Faith receives the kingdom. It receives the word. It receives creative dunamis power. Say, faith receives. It also receives the Holy Spirit because he was a gift. The Father said, if you know how to give good gifts, your children, how much more the Father give the gift? But he had to be received. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit's different than being born again. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. More than just so you pray in tongues. That's a major component of it, but you need the one who transfers the kingdom. You gotta have him. That's why they said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You need him. Gotta have him. Faith receives. Say he receives. You have to have within you the components that move mountains. Before you exercise faith of the moving of the mountain, you have to exercise faith to receive the kingdom. Amen? And we know now we receive the living word. We receive creative dunamis power. We receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, it was Mark that said, hear the word of the kingdom and receive it. They brought forth 30. So you understood it and received it. Next level. Faith, true faith, what? Keeps. Say keeps. Now you're going to like this because he opened up something really cool in here. Keeps the word of the kingdom. Now he's going to keep it by faith, by acknowledgement, but he's going to keep it with the power of dunamis. Y'all know what dunamis is, right? Greek word for power. Miracles, might, everything, every time you hear that word, it's dunamis. Now, Luke, they hear the word and keep it. So Matthew said, hear the word and understand it. Mark said, hear the word and receive it. Luke said, hear the word and keep it. Every one of those is necessary. Now, the first guy, he heard the word of the kingdom, but he understood it not. And the enemy came and snatched the operation of the kingdom out, but left you knowing God. Still can know God. Still go to church. Still be nice. You still have the operation of the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm talking about by that? Doesn't have the power and the glory and the manifestation. Wasn't the way he designed it to be. Now, since you're in Matthew 13, verse 19, we just talked about this verse. He that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that word that was sown in the heart. See, catches away the word of the kingdom. Leaves you with the word of religion. Sometimes religion can look like a lot of different things. Religion can be oppressive, it can be legalistic, but it also look very good, sound very good. But it just denies power. It denies the operation of the kingdom. You're going to like this. Verse 20. And he that received the seed in, say, stony places. So here's the guy who heard the word of the kingdom and he received it. Now he's going to have to learn to keep it. But watch what happens. He receives the word of the kingdom into stony place. It's the same as he that hear the word and with joy receiveth it. With joy. Say joy. Ha ha. You can receive it with joy and get excited. Glory. But then persecution and affliction will arise against that word.
And what he says, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a little while.
A lot of people like that. They'll endure for a little while. But then they detach. They let go. They're not letting go of God. Don't misunderstand what he's talking about here. They're not letting go of salvation. They're letting go of this process of how the kingdom releases. Then they go sit in church somewhere.
But their capacity within them was to release and walk in a full 100-fold manifestation of their calling. But they got stopped out. One never got to understand how it worked, got stopped out. This next person, he receives it with joy and gladness, endures for a little while,
then gets stopped out. Now, notice this, very powerful, because Luke tells us a little bit more of the story why he got stopped out. So you gotta really meditate. You need the Holy Spirit to point some of these things out too.
So here's this guy, watch this. He has no root himself. This is a stony place. He hears it and he's full of joy. Yet he hath not rooted himself and he endures for a little while. Now, he falls away from the word of the kingdom. When tribulation, persecution arise, because of that word of the kingdom, not all words will attract that kind of attention. It took me a long time to figure that out. I'm like, we are just this nice church with a lot of revelation and we get such extreme warfare. Church down the street doesn't get all that warfare. They may not be teaching the word of the kingdom. They're no threat.
The only threat is the word of the kingdom. It's the only one the enemy's after. Now, you need to go to Luke 8 because this is really powerful.
Because this guy, the one on stony ground, he got tapped out. He endured for a little while, but he was tapped out. But Luke is going to tell you why he got tapped out. We know persecution and affliction, but he lacks something. He lacks something. And he gives you a little bit, because these parables are the same. They're just, all three writers are writing it the way they heard it, but the Lord designed it that way, because you put them all together and they build a perfect image of how the kingdom works. He's going to say something here. They lack, this person lacks something. That's why he couldn't stand.
And he didn't fall out, did not come into the fullness of God. You do not want to stand before God and having missed him. You only get one shot at it. Amen. I am here to assure that that doesn't happen to you. I am here to keep the compass straight. Hallelujah. Sit there and point that beacon. Point it. Amen.
Now Luke 8 gives you something very good. Verse 6. Some fell upon a rock. That's the same we were talking about in Matthew. Same guy. Right? Now we're going to tell you what happened. You need King James for this. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because, it didn't say because of the affliction and persecution it came, because it lacked moisture. The seed in itself, the kingdom of God, the word of the kingdom comes in, but it has to have more elements that have to be received. You're going to have to receive more than just the word of the kingdom. You're going to have to also receive moisture, just like a seed that's planted into the ground. It's going to need moisture. If you don't get the moisture, your word's going to dry. You are going to dry up. And you're going to try to stand against persecution and affliction. And most times, a lot of times, the enemy will win that battle. You're going to have to be full of moisture. God kind of moisture. Moisture called creative dunamis power. Oil, living water that's going to come in and add itself to the process of that seed. If you don't get that, it kind of said it like this in Romans, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your believing so you'll abound in hope, not wither and dry up. You'll abound in hope by way of the dunamis power the Holy Spirit is supplying. If you don't get the abounding of hope, he's going to constantly shroud you with hopelessness because he wants the operation of the kingdom. It's not just about you. It's about what you're carrying and more about what you're hearing. That's why when you come to this church, you're not just a spectator. You've been divinely called here because God wants all of us to walk in this fullness. Now hitherto we've been in the classroom and he's about to shift all that. We're about to graduate and go out into the real world with all this stuff. But he needed a fullness. You need the moisture that dunamis power provides. You need the God of hope filling you with all joy and peace so the hope abounds so you don't lose hope in the midst of the process. Hope must abound into faith. Faith is substance of things hoped for. Amen? See, that's why I said you have to understand this. You have to be willing to understand how my kingdom works. If you're not willing to do any of this, then you're just going to revert back to who you are in God. You might be blessed. I want more than blessed. I want fullness. I want 100-fold glory. That's what I'm after. I begged God to give me a mentor that was walking in 100-fold. I didn't see anybody. I said, I don't care who they are. Just give them to me. And he did. He gave me the Holy Spirit. The mentor, the stuff he's been teaching, you don't always hear out there. You rarely hear some of it. It's fresh. It's new. It's coming from the Holy Ghost. We have to do something with what he's given us. He wants us to make it through. You're going to need moisture. You're going to need to receive the word of the kingdom and be impregnated like Mary. He didn't just speak the word to Mary. The Holy Ghost came up over and he overshadowed her with dunamis power. You got to be overshadowed with the moisture of heaven. These are all promises for you. Amen. True faith keeps the word of the kingdom. That's why I said if you're going to operate in faith to move mountains, you have to receive first. Receive the word of the kingdom, receive the Holy Spirit, and receive creative dunamis power. Receive the moisture, because you have to have the three measures. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is a further advanced revelation of leaven. Remember we talked about how the woman that hid the leaven into the three measures? We know what the three measures are: Holy Spirit, creative dunamis power, and the living word. We know the Holy Spirit used these in creation. We've been over this. Then we know that this woman, she injected leaven and it caused that miraculous rising. That's what we're looking for. That miraculous explosion. The whole is leaven. So whoosh, goes like that. Or the seed. You can look at it as the seed breaks through the ground. You need that operation. Amen? We need it. I knew leaven was faith, but leaven is faith with an action. Now, before I get into that, go to Matthew 13. I know how to move mountains. In the same chapter, Matthew 13. Remember I said you have to have the word of the kingdom in your heart, in your mouth, on the frontlets of your eyes. Watch what the Lord says to them about the eyes. True faith sees the kingdom. True faith sees. It's invisible, but you see it. You see the future by the eye of faith. You see it by the word that comes and explodes into your spirit. You see it, not with these eyes, but the eye of faith. But it's very clear if you give attention to it. In fact, it grows clearer than the ones you're seeing through. These don't matter. It's the other ones. It's what you see when you close your eyes. The enemy wants to surely cloud your vision. You have to be willing to grow into these things if you're going to overcome him. Amen.
But listen, it didn't take very many. Jesus took 12 and taught them and changed the world with them. Amen? Enemy knows it. He knows once it gets to a certain level, he cannot stop it. It gets way out of control. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It'll prevail against his entire kingdom, and whole cities were shaken under the power of God. These men that have turned the world upside down have come hither to our city. That's what it does when it breaks to that level. We don't know that because we don't see that operation like that. We will. We're on it. Matthew 13, 11. It answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. Whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even what he has. To him who hath my word, to him who has the moisture. To him who hath my Holy Spirit, to him is going to be given the kingdom. To him who hath not these things, you let this stuff slip. Faith is focus. Now he's going to talk about this, seeing the kingdom. Watch this. Verse 13, therefore, see, you have all this, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They can't see, they can't hear, and they don't understand. They're not going to have the operation of my kingdom. If you can't hear, if you can't see, if you don't understand, you're not going to get what he's saying here. It's not going to fall in your lap like that. You might get a gift from God. Might be a powerful gift, but you're not going to get this operation of the kingdom. There is a difference for building a ministry on a gift or building a ministry on the operation of the kingdom as an heir of God. For in them is fulfilled the prophecy, verse 14 of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall not see and you shall not perceive. For the people's hearts waxed gross, and their ears were dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed. Lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I would heal them. What is he healing? Your hearing, your eyesight, and the understanding. All of it spiritual. He's not talking about these eyes. He's talking about your eye of faith. Talking the hearing of the faith and understanding. He removes the blockages and gives you the revelation and the wisdom necessary to see the kingdom, hear the kingdom, and understand the kingdom. He removes the spirit of slumber off of you. When the spirit of slumber is broken, he heals your spiritual faculties to understand the spiritual kingdom, to see a spiritual kingdom, and to hear that spiritual kingdom and receive it. When the spirit of slumber is on somebody, they cannot see, they cannot hear, and they cannot understand. It goes right over them. When you're teaching, they're into tomorrow or yesterday. They're somewhere else. You could be teaching revelation. Oh, that's so good. They're going, huh? God needs to heal. Sometimes he needs to heal the seeing. Because you have the wrong image. God's power of his word is strong enough and powerful enough to heal your sight. To heal your hearing. To heal your understanding. So you can re-embrace the word of the kingdom. Because when the word of kingdom's intact, and dunamis is intact, and the Holy Spirit's intact, and you are keeping these things, you are going to see, you are going to hear, and you are going to understand. You are not going to walk around being stolen from by the enemy, because you're going to know something about who you are and the kingdom that you serve. But if you just think that kingdom is going to fall out of the sky one day, and you're not willing to understand any of its operations, you're going to be a long time waiting for that. You might get a visitation. That's not what we want. Habitation. A repeatable operation of 100-fold glory.
Isn't that awesome? But blessed, verse 16, he's talking about you now. Say, he's talking about me. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Solomon said, do not let that word depart from your eyes. He wasn't talking about these. When this word is sown in the heart, he's not talking about the one in the page. He's talking about one here, because this is the one the enemy's after. He's not after the ones in that page. He's after the ones in that page that have been sown here, not in the head, in the heart. That's what he's after. Because that word that gets sown in you is going to open your spiritual eyesight to see the invisible kingdom. You're going to see when others cannot. You're going to hear when others cannot. And you are going to understand why that just happened. You're not going to walk by miracles. You're going to walk by faith. But not just this nonchalant faith, a purpose-focused faith that apprehends the kingdom of God just because you're an heir, because you can see. You got to protect your eyes, and I'm not talking about these. Samson had a problem with these. It kept getting him in trouble. So God allowed the enemy to pluck him out. And when he plucked him out, he got reacquainted with the other eyes. He said, Lord, let me stand between the two pillars. Got reacquainted with his anointing. And in one fell swoop, he took down the whole kingdom of the Philistines. Right in the middle of their party. These eyes are not the ones you need to be acquainted with. Those are the ones the enemy wants to acquaint you with. It's the eye of faith. The eye of faith grows mightily as that word is kept in the heart. The ear of faith grows mightily. The eyes and the ears and the heart, it grows. But something else grows. It's called the word of power that sits in your mouth. It's different than a word that you just take from your Bible and speak. I took mountains down by just taking a word and speaking. It was a lot of work. 11 months of speaking, 4 to 5 hours a day. I'm thinking, man, is that the way it is? I just spoke the word, spoke the word, spoke the word, but I didn't know any of this other stuff. Jesus cast out devils with a word of his power. They said, wow, this man, there's power. He cast out devils with the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his dunamis power. There's a different operation depending on what's going on inside of you when that word comes out of you. That word can move, your words can move mountains if you have the right stuff on the inside of you. But just taking a scripture and speaking it and say, I am a faith man. That is an operation of faith because I did it. But there's a greater one that belongs to the heirs of God. That he seeds that word with the Holy Ghost. And he seeds it with dunamis power. And it's kept in the reservoir of your tabernacle. And that word that is kept, when it comes out with full-blown power. Power to topple mountains. Power to slice right through. Strongholds have been sitting over cities for centuries to slice and dice them. True leaven, say true leaven. True leaven faith. And here we go. Decrees the kingdom by way of the Holy Spirit, the word, and dunamis power that has been kept in the reservoir of the heart. Get all that? True leaven faith decrees the kingdom of God by way of the Holy Spirit, the living word of promise that's been kept in the heart, understood, and the creative dunamis power that's kept it in the moisture. What's in here will absolutely determine what comes out of here, but not just what comes out of your mouth, but the level of power that's coming out of your mouth. That's why if you don't receive these things when you speak, there is death and life and the power of the tongue. But then there's another operation where he fills your words with dunamis power that can topple mountains by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 13, your words will be filled with power to move your mountains. Because we're going to teach you how to receive the power base that fuels your words to move the mountains. It's going to be a whole lot different than the way you spoke in the past. A lot of times people end up in the middle of a trial and their heart is all flustered about. And they're all torn about and they're tossed to and fro. And all of a sudden they grab a scripture and they're going to start speaking faith. But what's coming behind those words is a heart full of turmoil. And they're wondering why the mountain doesn't move. God, I spoke to the mountain. Your word said speak to the mountain, it'll move. Your words were fueled. It was God's word fueled with a base of turmoil. Doesn't work like that. When Jesus was sleeping, he stood up and said, peace be still. He wasn't in the storm. Nothing inside of him was in the storm. He was in dunamis power. He was in the midst of the Holy Ghost was inside of him. He knew how to keep what's going on here. Amen? He knew how to receive the kingdom before he spoke the kingdom. Did you hear that? You need to receive the kingdom before you speak the kingdom. If you speak the kingdom without receiving the kingdom, your words are not going to carry the weightiness of the kingdom. And that's why when you've exercised faith, when you got in trouble, most of the time we exercise faith when we're in trouble. We're doing it from the heart of trouble, a troubled heart. We're in the midst of a panic, or we're in the midst of turmoil, and we're trying to exercise faith. We're releasing God's word out of our mouth, but it's not in the heart. Turmoil's in the heart. God said, if you lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your mouth. Say in your heart and in your mouth. Go to Job 22 and I'm going to close. We are going to move mountains. Big ones. Big ones. But the Lord told me, he said, I am going to put together a people that will move individual mountains. But more importantly, I'm going to assign corporate mountains. And my people that are trained in the ways of my kingdom and understand and heart is full of my word and full. See, dunamis power is going to have what present? All joy and peace. It's going to have hope present, faith present, power present. That's when you exercise faith. Not when you're full of turmoil, fear, and doubt, and unbelief. That's why he said, say unto the mountain and not doubt in your heart. It will move and you shall have what you say. Where you're speaking from is just as important as what you're saying. Your heart must be in the same condition as that word you're speaking. And if it's not, you're not going to get the result. That's why you speak and nothing happens. Well, it does happen because death and life and the power of the tongue, but we want the power base of the kingdom behind the words. Amen? We want to move the mountains. That's why you better guard the heart with all diligence. That's why you better understand how this kingdom works and give some diligence of keeping that word. Solomon said, whatever you do, do not let it depart. It's your power base. Don't let it depart your eyes. Don't let it depart your heart. Bind it for a sign upon your hand. Keep it in your mouth. And then when you speak, it'll happen. But more times than not, we're exercising faith when trouble comes. Isn't that right? When everything's good, we're good. When trouble comes, man, we grab our Bible. In the name of Jesus! Do you have any idea who you're messing with? No weapon of war against me will prosper. You're like this on the outside, but inside, you're in turmoil. You're under assignment. And he done got up inside there. Because that's why he said, do not doubt in the heart. You're going to have the heart condition just as much as you have the mouth speaking it. And that's not going to just show up in the middle of a storm. When the disciples were in the storm, their heart was all tossed about. Master, careth thou not that we perish? He said, you did not hear my word. I said, let us go over to the other side. That's what's inside of me. Well, I'm standing in a kingdom of peace. Be still. Because you have victory in the heart. You can order victory in the atmosphere. If you do not, the enemy's going to order the atmosphere and the condition of your heart. It's the dominion mechanism. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why you got to give diligence to this. You got to get yourself ready. Because the day of faith will come upon you. And the day of temptation will come upon you. You better have the moisture. And you better have the word. And the Holy Ghost ready. And said, oh, you messing with the wrong man now. Because what's going on here is what's going on here is what's going on here. The Holy Ghost will come back you up. And he'll topple that storm right in front of you. Because all that time you were preparing, you think that was going on, you were having your heart ready to face the mountain. What do you think God's doing? Getting you ready to challenge you. Goliath was David's promotion. Nobody else got promoted from Goliath, but David got promoted. You are going to get set against something going to challenge you. Been challenging you all your life, but this time it's going to meet something else. It's going to meet raw dunamis power. It's going to meet a word that's been kept in the midst of the ark. It's going to meet the Holy Ghost. And when you speak, fire is going to recede out of your mouth. And mountains are going to topple down. You're going to speak and devils are going to scream. That power will get so prevalent that they can't sit up into church anymore. That's what happened. Jesus showed up in church that day and that devil's, man, I've been sitting in this church for a long time. What is this? And they were astonished beyond astonishment. They said his word was what? With power. It wasn't with fear. It wasn't with turmoil. It was out of power because his reservoir was full of power. Because his heart and his mouth were in alignment together. And the eyes. You see? Because now you can see with the eyes, you can hear with the ears, and understand with the heart. And I need to give you this last scripture. Okay, Job 22:22. He said, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Okay, there's the word, right? And lay up his words in thine heart. Amen? And thou return to the Almighty, that thou shalt be built up. Hope's building you up. You've returned to God. You're in connection. You're in alignment. You're being built up in faith and hope. You see all of it? Your heart's being built up. The words in your heart, it's in your mouth. See, all the components are there. And put away iniquity far from that tabernacle. You regard iniquity in your heart, he cannot hear you. It's going to cut you off fast from the very one that's doing all the transference, and that's the Holy Ghost. He don't abide up into that stuff. Got to have him happy all the time. Amen? Then, oh, I like this verse 24. Say, then thou shalt lay up gold as the dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks, and the Almighty shall be your defense. He's going to raise a shield around you. To him who hath my words, to him will be given, but him who hath not, from him will be taken away. That thief will come and try to take away, and he'll find a wall of dunamis power and a wall of the Holy Spirit and a wall of the living word. He'll just run smack into that wall, and you can just whisper to him and say, go somewhere else, shoo fly. Not coming up in my stuff. The Almighty be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then thou shalt have delight in the Almighty. There's the joy. Thou shalt lift thy face unto God. There's the countenance. There's the strength. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear you. Thou shalt pay thy vows. Here it is, verse 28. You ready? Thou shalt decree a thing. When you got all these other verses, then you will decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon your ways. Listen, when God's light is shining upon your ways, you can go out and you know good stuff is happening today. Surely goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. I got light on me. I got favor upon me. I got glory upon me. And I know why it's on me. I will decree a thing and it will be established unto me. I will decree that strong man has been dogging my tracks for the last 30 years. I decree that mountain come down. Be thou removed. And what's up inside of me is the same thing that's what's coming out of my mouth. And the two are one. I'm not speaking out of fear, doubt, unbelief, or turmoil. I'm speaking out of hope. I'm speaking out of faith. I'm speaking out of joy. I'm speaking out of dunamis power. And the Holy Ghost will take that word and he'll topple that mountain. Oh, hallelujah. You want to know what Wikipedia says about decree? It's a rule of law. We'll say it's a rule of spiritual law that is usually established by a constitution. Anybody heard about spiritual constitution in this house? It's a rule of spiritual law. Usually established by a spiritual constitution. It's a new way of doing things that say, look, I know the earth and the systems have laws that govern it, but I'm operating by a greater law. One that doesn't put up with poverty, sickness, disease, sin. It doesn't put up with fear, turmoil, doubt, or unbelief. It's establishing a brand new law full of all good things. It grants me cities and homes that I did not build, filled with all good things that I did not fill. I drink from wells that I did not dig. I partake of olive yards and vineyards that I did not plant. I inherit businesses. I inherit the business of a city. It comes to me. God reassigns. Nope, that didn't go to the good old boys club anymore. I'm reassigning it. I'm reassigning to my paymasters. I'm reassigning it to my kings. I'm reassigning it to my little ones. I'm reassigning it to my heirs. I'm reassigning the assets of the earth to my brand new heirs. For they decree a thing and it's established. Rule of spiritual law that's usually established by a constitution, a formal and authoritative order given by the one who has the force of that law. Goes something like this. I hold this law. It integrates into my heart. I receive the word of the kingdom. I receive the creative dunamis power. I've received the Holy Spirit. It's constantly being received. The moisture is being received. All joy and peace and believing. I'm abounding in hope through the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. And then when the enemy comes along or when God sets me in front of a mountain, I am full of the Spirit of God. And when he sets me in front of a mountain, he brings fire out of my mouth. Mountain moving words that topple the mountains and bring them straight down to the ground. It's a new law. It's a new sheriff. And it's higher than the systems of the world that constantly beat the heirs of God down. The heirs of God's kingdom will rise in this last hour. And the world will bow low. Because we know our God. We know how it works. Because we took the time to understand, to water, to keep, to hear, to see. To believe. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.